He said, I will bring back your five sons. Now, as we know, how many sons had Kunti?
Six.
Krishna did, however, not say, I bring your six sons back from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He only was talking about the five Pandavas. He was not talking about the sixth son, which is Karna. Now, throughout the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna was extremely determined to protect the five sons of Kunti by all means. He was always there to arrange for their protection. And at the end of the battlefield, he delivered the five sons back to their mother Kunti. And at that time, Queen Kunti repeated what Krishna had told her previously. Queen Kunti said, Oh Kunti, your five sons will survive the war and I will deliver them to you in front of everyone. This is exactly what you said and it has come to pass. Queen Kunti was so moved. She said, even the sunshine may one day become cool and the moonshine one day become hot, but still your promise will not fail, O slayer of the Mura demon. Sunshine becoming cool? That's very difficult to imagine. but this is more easier to imagine than it is to imagine that Krishna will one day not fulfill what he has promised. I wanted to say this because it will help Gopeshwari extremely much to think about this, that Krishna never breaks his promises. He never lies. And I would like to now give you a few examples of Krishna's promises, which are jewels in the heart of the sadhakas in this material world. One of Krishna's promises is from the Bhagavad Gita, if one thinks of me at the time of death, then what will happen? One will come to me without fail. This is what Krishna has promised. And it will always happen. No matter if one is in a difficult situation and dies, Krishna is just Satyavakya. He is extremely truthful. He sticks to his word. I personally find this promise extremely rewarding in my own spiritual life, because lately I'm thinking about my own death a little. It is very comforting to think that if I just think of Lord Krishna at the time of death, there's in Nectar of Devotion is an example of an old man who dies and who then, while dying, stares at a picture of Krishna and thinks, Krishna. And this old man is immediately released from the cycle of birth and death and returns to Lord Krishna. And we have seen in our movement also devotees who died thinking of Krishna are returning back home, back to Godhead. Not long ago we were giving the Govardhan retreat, which you might have heard about, where Burija and Prabhu and myself are preaching there, and so many nice devotees from all over the world are coming to attend the Govardhan retreat. Even Anandini was there last time, isn't it? And we had one dying person with us. It was the mother of Ananda Tirtha. Her name is Suchi Rani, I believe. Suchi Rani. She was just every day devotees helped her to come to a mattress which we put for her on the dust of Braj, and she was lying there and listening to the talks about Lord Krishna, because she knew that she wanted to remember Lord Krishna at the time of death. We all thought, including her, she would live a little longer, and preparations were made to bring her to Australia. She also stayed in Germany, actually, one whole week. She stayed in Golokadam. And then, after the Govardhan retreat, her health deteriorated. And she stayed in Vrindavan and left her body in Vrindavan just very quickly afterwards. So, at the end of the Govardhan retreat, we gave the microphone to each member and expressed them, requested them to express their realization in one sentence or a little bit more. And Suchi Rani spoke, and I shall never be able to forget what she said. She spoke, you know, having one of her feet already on one, on the other riverbank of life. She said, now it is important for me to find shelter beyond the body, which is paining, and beyond the mind. I must find real shelter, no longer shelter with the body, you know, that I have rested well or have a nice physical feeling in my body, or and also not shelter in the mind that I have a good feeling or something like this. This is what she said. Very nice sentences, isn't it? Very nice words she spoke to us. And I think at the time, I heard at the time of death, Aindra Prabhu was there. Hare Krishna, please come in. We are extremely honored to see you and have your divine presence. Hare Krishna. Aindra and the other devotees were around her and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and she left her body in by thinking of Lord Krishna. And Krishna's promise is given. Krishna makes another such promises, which I would like to repeat for you here. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deyang puna janma naeti mang eti sojuna. If one knows the reason for Krishna's appearance and activities in this world, he will never have to be reborn, but will attain the abode of Krishna. There's another promise which Krishna gives. Just know about why I come to this world and why I do my things here, my activities here. And I promise you this is your last birth. That's why I'm so enthused to discuss with you for your own transformation the qualities of Lord Krishna. Because when we understand this in truth, Krishna gives us the promise. That was it. This was your last time on the toilet of material existence, Yadunanda. Wonderful, isn't it? Yes. Yes. Krishna gives another promise which I like also very much. If one offers me simply a leaf, a fruit, or water with devotion, then I will accept it. Krishna is very easy to satisfy. Wherever you are, Prabhupada says, in whatever part of the world, these things are easily available. You will have some water, some leaf, and a fruit, and so on, I will accept it. A little while ago, when I was on the airplane, one steward told me how he felt Krishna kept this promise. I watched the steward. He was serving water and whatever the people demanded. And we were flying to India, and the steward, you know, there was a little tension around him. I mean, everyone wanted everything at the same time. And all the other stewards were totally freaked out, but he was very, very peaceful. Then he came by me, and then I said, "You are so peaceful. You are so different. Why?" And he didn't have much time. He said to me, "I guess it's because I believe in God." Then when he had done his slujba, his activities, he came and sat next to me and said, "I must tell you what Krishna did to me. I was very desperate. I wanted to give up smoking, but I could not even give up the desire to give up smoking." to smoke. I could not give up the desire to smoke. I was ruining myself. So one day, I came to my sleeping room in the hotel, and on the night table I found a Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada. I was thinking, now it's getting interesting. Let me hear more closely. And there I read in the ninth chapter that Krishna says, whenever someone offers me some fruit, some water, some leaf, I will surely accept it. So I decided to make an experiment. Time I was free from my flight, I had a little free time, I went and I bought some fruits, some leaves I got from the trees. I did not know better. Now I know Tulsi is preferable. And I bought a bottle of Bisleri water. And then I went to the Glory of India temple, and I gave these things to the pujari, and I thought the pujari will never give them to Krishna. And he will just say it. But the pujari said, "Oh, you have brought water and leaf and fruit." And he brought this immediately and touched it to Radha Pata Sharati's lotus feet. Then at that moment I said, "Krishna, you are a great man." You know, this is in Indian. "Krishna, and I'm a small man." So small men have always desires to ask from the big man. My desire is, please give me the strength to give up smoking. Then I went home. And automatically my hands were again going to this cigarette package, and I was just lighting the cigarette and wanting to put it in the mouth. And all of a sudden, I felt no longer the urge to smoke. In fact, what I felt was a resistance to smoking. And I was no longer interested to smoke. And I batted it. I threw the whole cigarette shachtel, the cigarette package, out of the window. And from that moment, I have no desire to smoke, not even the urge. And then he cried, "Boo, boo, not even the urge I have. Boo, boo." It was fully enlivened that Krishna had not broken his promise, that he brought these things to him, and Krishna accepted it and accepted the prayer also. So, Gopeshwari, you must have more faith. You agree? Yeah, good. Good. This is... Who of you can think of another promise of which Krishna has given?
My devotee will never perish even if he cannot attain perfection within
My devotee will never perish. We will bring a comfortable chair for you. Yes, no problem, no problem. We are in the family. Don't worry. Please do not worry. Yes, yes. In winter we cannot always be in time. We have to sometimes. It's no problem. Please don't feel any problem. We are in the family. My devotee will never perish, says, remembers our Vrinda Devi. Even though he cannot attain perfection, Krishna is kind to the devotee. Is this a promise you cherish in your life, Vrinda Devi? Or you just thought of it? Not enough. Yeah. Not enough. Who can remember another promise of Krishna?
To those who are with devotees, all their activities are meditated upon me, and they serve me. I become the swift deliverer from the ocean of material existence.
Very good. So Krishna promises those whom think of him, he releases them from material existence. Is there a particular promise which you in your life have experienced? Now it gets very difficult. If you think of Lord Krishna and his promises, is there a promise which you yourself feel very close to? I would like to give you something where I feel very close to. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita two times the same thing, otherwise he does not repeat himself. He says, always think of me, manmana bhava matbhakto, become my devotee, worship me, and bring your obeisances to me. I promise you that I will take you to me. And from that time, since I'm aware of it, I cherish this promise very much. Today Gaurahari asked me, should we go to the guest house first or to the temple? And I said, we must go to the temple first because I want to offer my most respectful obeisances to Radha Gopinath first. It is a very strong position I have taken in my life to always first offer my obeisances to Krishna, because I feel he has promised that anyone who does this, he will surely take this devotee to him. And I'm very, very enlivened by this promise. My dear devotees, what I wish to tell you is that it is very important for us to know that whatever God has promised can never be broken by any circumstances. Krishna is able to overcome all the obstacles to his promises, which are sometimes very difficult for us. You know, we may make a promise, but there is all of a sudden an obstacle which is just too great for us, so that we are forced by this obstacle into breaking our promise. But Lord Krishna is so powerful, that's why we heard about him as being Baliyan, so full of vital energy, that nothing in the world, no circumstances, nothing can ever move him to break his promise. He will never do it. Sometimes devotees asked, but sometimes it seems that Krishna breaks some promise. It seems to be the case. For instance, I remember very clearly at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, he had said he would not fight. You remember? He was lying, resting comfortably in Dwarka, and both Arjuna and Duryodhana came to him request him for help in the upcoming battle of Kurukshetra. So Krishna woke up, and I believe Arjuna was sitting next to his head, to the feet, yes, right. Arjuna was sitting next to the feet, and Duryodhana was sitting next to the head. And then Duryodhana began to speak. Krishna, I came to have your help, to ask for your help. Please help me in this battle of Kurukshetra. And Krishna said, both of you have come for the same purpose. I will tell you like this. One side of you can have all my powerful army, the powerful Narayanas, and the other side can have me. But whoever chooses me must know that I will not fight. And because when I woke up, I first saw Arjuna. When you wake up, just look at your feet normally when your head. Arjuna is the first person who can ask me what he wants. Duryodhana said, oh no, now everything is lost. Which fool would choose Krishna if he does not fight in a war? You know, it's one place more on the chariot, you know, which you need for a good warrior. And Arjuna said, Govinda, I want only you. Duryodhana said, here is the fool, his name is Arjuna. Then he rubbed his hands and said, I want your armies, Govinda. But don't fight. So then the battle of Kurukshetra started, and there was a situation in which grandfather Bhishma promised, tomorrow I will fight in such a way that I will either kill Arjuna or force Krishna to break his promise to not fight. But he fought extremely hard, and Arjuna was already on the ground. He was clearly in his last moments. And then he saw how all of a sudden Lord Krishna jumped from the chariot, Hare Krishna, and began to run towards grandfather Bhishma. And the Bhagavatam said he ran so intensely that the earth shook when he touched the earth. He was clearly in some intense mood. Then, while running, he picked up a wheel from a chariot, which was disabled. It was lying there. His whole body became covered with the dust of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His yellow scarf fell from his chest and left his breast uncovered, which looked extremely beautiful. And he was moving very quickly towards the chariot of Bhishma, rising his wheel and being ready to use it as a deadly weapon. It looked really like the Sudarshan weapon. It did not look different. It looked exactly the same. So here you may say, Krishna, your promise is not broken. You have not kept your promise. It's very nice that you are attacking Bhishma, but you have not broken your promise. How can we have faith in what you say? Gopishwari could make this point if she wanted. Lord Krishna breaks sometimes a lesser vow of lesser importance to protect a vow which is of higher importance, and his highest and the vow of higher importance was today stated by Brinda Devi herself. She said that Krishna will always, what did you say? He will always protect his devotee, or my devotee will never perish. That is for Krishna extremely important. He has even said in the scriptures that he is usually equal towards all, but when it comes to his devotees, he gives up his equality and he becomes partial. He says, my devotees are specially protected by me. Hare Krishna Prabhu, will you? No problem. Your auspicious presence makes this whole hall into a place of pilgrimage.
Can I use the dog for a moment?
Please. Would be our honor. This is very, very important. Krishna has a special partiality, or his heart moves very, he has a warm heart for his devotees. And he will break even lesser vows for the sake of his devotees. This is what Krishna is. There's another example in the scriptures when Krishna broke a lesser vow in order to maintain the higher vow. Once he told Arjuna, he knew that Dronacharya was powerfully killing all the soldiers of the Pandavas. He didn't keep any rules and any laws of Kshatriya conduct. He was just slaughtering the Pandavas, soldiers, left and right. And so Krishna knew that Dronacharya could only be stopped if he would hear the distressful news that his son Ashwatthama had been killed. So he said to Yudhishthira, please you say Ashwatthama has been killed. Yudhishthira said, but I'm Dhammaraj, I always speak the truth. If he is not killed, then Krishna, how can I say he has been killed? Bhishma heard this. No, Bhima heard this. He said, no problem, Govinda. I will say it. Ashwatthama has been killed. When Dronacharya heard this, he immediately asked, who said? The news were brought to him that this had been told by Bhima. Oh, said Dronacharya, that's all right. Shoop, 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 shoop. And he continued with his slaughter. He knew Bhim would say anything. So then Krishna told Bhima, there is an elephant. It is an elephant of our enemies. So his name is Ashwatthama. Just kill him. And Bhim took his club and hit the elephant over its nose. And then Krishna said, now you say it. So Yudhishthira said, Ashwatthama, The elephant is dead. Now, this is not what everyone else heard, because Krishna blew in his conch shell exactly at the right time. So what everyone heard was, Ashwatthama is dead. Hare Krishna. So Ashwatthama, so it is said, since that time, since Yudhishthira said this, his chariot, which always rode this much over the ground, it never touched the ground, touched for the first time the ground. Why? Well, there are two types of commentators, the atheistic commentators and the devotees. The atheistic commentators say, because Yudhishthira spoke a lie or was implicated in a lie. That's why his chariot wheels touched the grounds. Mm. The devotees of Krishna said, no, the wheels of Yudhishthira's chariot touched the ground because he did not follow Krishna's instruction. That is the reason why. So you can see the same thing in two different interpretations. But the devotees know that it is perfectly all right to break a lesser vow for a higher vow. A little while ago, we were in such a situation. Gaurahari had driven too fast, like he often does. The police department was severely complaining to him, wanting to take his driving passport. So he said, it was not me who drove. It was my shadow. It was not me. So he asked me, is this correct? And I said, preaching is a higher principle. So on. Of course, this is not something for the newspapers. it's very important here in to understand Krishna's mind in this way. Now, for a devotee, it is also important to become truthful. There is a statement by the demigods who prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. You are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, please listen to this, Prabhuji's and Mataji's, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. This is from the Bhagavatam, if you wish to note it, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 26. Here Krishna says that only the truthful devotee can come to him. If a devotee breaks his promises, he cannot come to him, because no hypocrite can come to him. I would like request you a little bit to think about being truthful. I would like to make a little experiment with you. Sit in pairs of two. Please do this, and then I will give you further instructions. Now comes the instruction. Who of you is partner A and who of you is partner B? Yeah. Yeah. So, partner B and partner A and partner B, I wish you to close your eyes. And think of a situation. where someone gave you a promise and did not fulfill the promise. Please think of such a situation in your life where someone gave you a promise but did not fulfill that promise. Please think a little bit about the situation. See the person before you. See the situation. And see how you felt at that time. Okay, please start thinking about this. Someone gave you a promise but broke the promise. How did it feel? Are we finished? Now comes a better better exercise. Now I would like you to again close your eyes for a short while and go into the past and remember when someone gave a promise to you and kept the promise. When he kept the promise, how did it remember the situation first? And then remember how it felt. Someone gave you a promise. It can be in the childhood. Someone said, your father may have said to you, son, you will get a fresh apple. Or maybe it was your girlfriend, or a teacher. Or it was a devotee who said, I come from, I go to Vrindavan and I bring you Vrindavan dust with you. And he came actually and brought you the dust of the seven temples of the Goswamis. Please remember something and remember also how it felt. Have you... do you need a little bit more time, or is it you have talked about it? You have talked about it. Good. Anandi, you have talked about it? Too much? How is it possible? yes. So please focus again. we are... the... Would someone like to share a particularly colorful example of a promise which was broken to him or her and how it felt? Promised something and then all of a sudden he was really not on the level where he could keep his promise. He had broken and you felt discouraged and angry. A mixture of discouragement and anger. Yes. Would someone like to share what happened when someone gave you a promise and kept the promise? How did you feel? Happy and blissful. Secure maybe also that, oh, here someone cares for me. Yeah. Yeah. So Sukanya Mataji went and distributed books even? Or what, you took care of the girls?
No, I was distributing books.
Distributing books in Amsterdam, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, the temple president came and said, I promise you that you can go to India. Here is the Lakshmi and the ticket. Please go and come back. Yes. And she felt extremely blissful. We can see the bliss even still in your face. It has not left your face. No, it is very, very nice. Now, my dear devotees, this exercise I wanted to make in order to make you understand a very important point. Many times when we make promises, we really make promises to ourselves. For instance, when I give my initiation vows, just chant 16 rounds a day without fail, I make a promise which I really make to myself and of course to Lord Krishna. Now, when you break such promises, there is an automatic price which you have to pay. You lose trust with yourself, your own self-confidence decreases, and your self-esteem and self-worth goes down. Your self-respect is gone, and there is some, you're no longer clear with your the energy of life. So in the same way, when there are promises which you keep to yourself, automatically you gain trust in yourself, you build self-confidence and self-respect, and your self-esteem goes upwards. Your energy becomes focused and you become clear in consciousness. I personally think it's very important for us to become truthful. To become truthful, that is, to keep our own agreements and our own promises with each other, will help us tremendously to rise in our life to a very happy life. Do you think this is a good point, Yadanandan? Yes, Yadanandan has given me his encouragement in this very difficult point. Yes. Yes. So this is very important, my dear devotees. Another thing why I wanted you to experience this exercise with your friends and with your partners is, if you want to have a clear, happy life, like our Sukanya, who was blissfully smiling, remembering how the promise was kept to her. Please always remember how Krishna kept promises in your life, how he took care of you, how he kept the promises which I have given to you in the, we have spoken about these agreements and promises of Lord Krishna. You will feel it is a very good spiritual energy coming when you remember how Krishna keeps his promises. How Krishna is, what was the Sanskrit word? Satyavakya, truthful. Can we hear some memories how Krishna kept the promise to you? I have told you already my experience in the Atlantic Ocean, when the waves came as high as the second beam, and Krishna pulled me out of the ocean by sending me waves. I feel at this moment, Krishna, you are a reliable friend. I feel very good with you. You are extremely truthful. You have given the word that your devotees will not perish. I thought really this is the end. I thought, Sachinandan Swami, now you will drown like a perfect German tourist. Your enemies will say, here we have seen, this was a totally ordinary man. Your friends will think, a German tourist. And so on. But Krishna kindly protected me at that time. It is very important to think about how Krishna kept a promise towards you. I think this morning, this noontime, Krishna kept a promise that he said he will carry what the devotees need, and you got nice prasadam in the noontime. I think Krishna kept a promise today. Please think in your life how Krishna keeps promises towards you, and you will feel blissful, happy, and full of gratitude, like our Sukanya has shown us. It's a nice point, isn't it? You can see immediately when you remember someone keeps promises, how your energy goes up, yoo-hoo, and you feel how it feels when someone breaks promises. Disappointed, Yadunandam Prabhu said, disappointed and even angry, although we normally would think that such an emotion is far away from the psychology of Yadunandan Prabhu, still we have learned today that it is possible for Yadunandan to feel anger when someone half angry when someone breaks the promise. Krishna, there's a deep point. So we will now have a little pause. We want to go today up till 6 o'clock. We will have just a little pause, I would say maybe 7 minutes, so you can take care of you in the 7 minutes, whatever you require, and then we will go for another 35 minutes with a new quality of Lord Krishna. This quality is a total surprise for you, and I will not reveal anything further on this matter now, but only in 7 minutes. Hare Krishna.